this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by our friends at Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date in football history, well, not a whole hell of a lot actually went down in this date in football history, but it is the birthday of one touchdown Tommy Vardell. So it begs the question, Tony, I don't know if it begs it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Give me three noted touchdown vultures not named Tommy Vardell that have played in the National Football League.
Touchdown vultures?
Touchdown vultures, please.
Does James Stewart count?
Does James Stewart count?
I mean, how many would Fred Taylor have?
I would count Stacey Mack. Stacey Mack is a touchdown vulture for Fred Taylor.
Who is the guy in Detroit?
Tommy Vardell.
Yeah.
That would be him. That'd be touchdown time.
Touchdown vulture means somebody that steals all the touchdowns. That's
somebody else does all the work, gets down to the 1 yard line.
Michael Allstott.
Big old fat Lendell White comes in and steals all the glory. One of the best of all time.
John Kuhn.
There's a touchdown vulture. Because he vultures them not only for a team that throws so much from inside the 5 yard line, he's vulturing Rodgers' touchdowns as well as Lacy's touchdowns.
Everybody. No one's got Kuhn rolling.
One of the best ones I think we've seen in the last 20 years, Leroy Horde of the Minnesota Vikings, was always a touchdown vulture. Primarily, I believe, for Robert Smith back in the day.
Who's the guy up in Washington right now? Darrell?
Oh, that kid. What is his name? Yeah, every once in a while he scores two or three touchdowns. He does it once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Darrell Young. Right,
yeah, I think that's who
he
is.
And then the rest of the year he doesn't touch football. But so he's not as prolific. But Fred Taylor, we brought this up, Dave, on one of the postgame shows. I thought Fred was going to hug me.
I said,
Fred, how many more touchdowns would you have if Stacey Mack just didn't keep getting the ball? He goes, oh, my God, I'm so glad you brought that up. he felt there was, I think, some shenanigans that went down during previous eras of Jaguar football when it came to incentives being reached or not reached, in people's contracts. And I think we've talked about that a time or two
before. It's an unfortunate part of the business.
It is part of the business now, isn't it? All right, so that's what you got on this date in football history. Happy birthday, touchdown, Tommy. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, featuring the custom fit Somnamed Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. Call 620-9225 if you're in need of cosmetic work or you're just in the market for a family dentist, or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
And because I just happened to see this a moment ago on Twitter, happy birthday to Bob Babich.
I did not realize that. Happy birthday, Bob Babich.
Coordinator. He is 54 years young today. As far as the Honda Drive Around the NFL, is the race to L.A. on? A couple of weeks ago, St. Louis Rams owner Stan Kroenke announced that he was breaking ground on a potential stadium site in Los Angeles. Yesterday, the news came out that both the San Diego Chargers and Oakland Raiders are working together to build a privately financed stadium that both teams would share in the Carson, California area. In a joint statement, the team said, quote, "We are pursuing the stadium option in Carson for one straightforward reason. If we cannot find a permanent solution in our home markets, we have no alternative but to preserve other options to guarantee the future economic viability of our franchises," end quote. So now there's three teams racing to get to L.A., it sounds like, potentially. Also, no helmet sensors for the NFL in 2015. This article up on ESPN right now, part of an Outside the Lines report. Apparently, the Virginia Tech has been using it in their helmets, these sensors in their helmets, to determine when a player basically experiences 98 G's of force, which seems ridiculous to me, but 98 G's of force, they come to the sideline.
Cumulative?
No, on one play.
You can think 98?
That's what I said. When I was reading the article,
your head,
I was like,
not explode?
98. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I watched the right stuff. They weren't going through 98 G training to go to the moon.
Maybe it was 9 to 8 G somewhere in there.
I don't think so.
9.8 G's?
think so.
All right.
But at least 98 G forces. Yeah, it's right here.
98 G forces.
But apparently Virginia Tech, their program is claiming that it's ready. Like, it's ready to be used by the NFL. And if you remember the story last offseason, the NFL was basically talking like, yeah, in the next year or two, we're going to implement it where, yes, All 32 teams will be wearing sensors in their helmets so we can tell what kind of damage may be being done on these plays. Well, the NFL is saying that they don't believe the technology is ready. They have their doctor or whoever it is working with the league that's saying they aren't quite sure the technology yet. Well, the universities that are using it are like, it's ready. It's ready to be used, and for whatever reason, the NFL doesn't want it. From a players' union perspective, I get it. I get why they don't want it out there, because then you're going to have a sensor in your helmet. When you get hit this hard, you don't play.
Right.
Like, we're not guessing anymore. You're not talking to a doctor. You got hit this hard. The helmet says you're out. So from a player's perspective, I get why they're fighting this thing.
Is it so? It's 98 cumulative G-forces? Is that what we're talking about? That seems...
The system in use of Virginia Tech alerts trainers when it detects any hit measuring at least 98 G-forces.
It's hard for me to fathom. I was reading something about concussions last night, too, and they said one of the ultimate goals is to have a saliva test that will, I mean, it sounds crazy right now, right? But, I mean, the things that happen in medicine, right? Go back 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, and it's like witchcraft, right?
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that goes on. So who's to say that there isn't some, I don't know, enzyme that gets secreted.
Yeah, releases,
you know?
Yeah.
We don't know. And that, but that is, I saw one of the goals of modern medicine in this capacity is to be able to have like a simple saliva swab that you could take and tell if this guy has suffered a concussion or a near concussion, whatever the case may be. So, interesting. You see, Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune's quote, by the way, about the Chargers having their battle plan to move to Los Angeles. He said, you know, basically said, the mayor of San Diego said, it's now abundantly clear that while we've been working in San Diego to create a plan for a new stadium, the Chargers have for some time been making their own plans for a move to Los Angeles. That would amount to abandoning generation of loyal Charger fans. Never mind the fact that you got the team from Los Angeles
right.
years ago, okay. But Kevin Acey described the way the Chargers are going about this and basically now with the Raiders and the Raiders and Chargers combining forces here to maybe share a stadium as a poop sandwich wrapped in garbage with a side of kick in the stomach chased by a shot of vinegar. So,
goodness.
That sounds tasty.
That's pretty descriptive right there of what you've got for the Chargers and Raiders. And I guess they're feeling like, hey, if the Rams get in there, we're going to be stuck left holding the bag. And Dale, I think there's more speculation now than ever that you might see two of these teams, let's say the Chargers and the Rams go to Los Angeles, and that the Raiders then may pack up and move to St. Louis. And it's odd because the Raiders have been so against sharing the new stadium with the 49ers, yet in this proposal, they would share a stadium with a division rival. But I guess it would be a brand new thing and more on their terms than the 49ers' terms is my guess at that point. So there you have it, poop sandwich wrapped in garbage with a side of kick in the stomach chased by a shot of vinegar. That's what you've got going on.
Very nice.
Out in San Diego right now. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Today, we've got the Friday Top 5 for you, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you for the 5 worst draft picks in Jaguar team history. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. One rule change proposal that is being floated around right now when it comes to replay is to expand replay so coaches could basically challenge any penalty flag that's called, not just an inbounds, out-of-bounds situation, although they're trying to stop short of allowing you to challenge a play on which a penalty was not called. And for instance, if a guy gets mugged and you're like, oh, that's clear pass interference, you're not going to still be able to appeal that or throw the challenge flag on that. But Bill Belichick brought this up last year or the year before.
Yeah, he's been talking about it a couple of years now.
Yeah, basically, if it's called on the field and it's something that you can, that is subject to, you know, in pretty straightforward interpretation, we should be able to challenge it. I mean, isn't every, I guess if you're inbounds or out of bounds, there's no subjectivity.
Most of them are judgment calls, though.
Most of them are judgment calls, yeah. Right? I mean, did this guy hold? Did he not hold?
He kind of held, but, you know, I guess I could see it your way, but, you know, that's almost too much.
I think the NFL is going to shy away from that. I still don't think they're ready to go for, pass interference.
It would have to be something black and white. Yeah, pass interference.
I mean, look at the play that wins the Super Bowl, right? defensive back basically runs right through the receiver. Is that pass interference, or is that guy making an aggressive play on the ball?
An aggressive play, because it's no different than a receiver crashing into a defensive back trying to make the catch. You're not going to say it's offensive pass interference.
Right. But could you imagine a situation like that where it's coming down to the judgment of the replay official? You've got the Super Bowl hanging in the balance on a situation like that. I don't think they're going to go that route, but still being kicked around a little bit this NFL offseason. All right, coming up, we'll unveil our countdown of the Friday Top 5 and take your thoughts as well. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, and at 1010XL Fat Tony. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday afternoon. They've been bringing you great, outstanding service since 1905, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida with the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees and on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service, the elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call them at 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. A couple of notes that I'm coming across from various sources this morning. Peter King reports he believes that Torrey Smith's best contract offer, the Baltimore wide receiver, will not come from the Ravens. We're just looking at his numbers on the break. Not a single 100-yard game this year for Torrey Smith. He's really hit or miss. Only had one game where he caught more than five balls all year long. And, Steve Smith kind of became the primary option, particularly that first half of the year. Steve Smith was on fire. As Torrey Smith started to heat up, he got in the end zone quite a bit, Dave. 11 touchdowns, nothing to sneeze at. Was reported a few weeks ago by Jason Lockenfora, who's covered that area for quite a while, that the Ravens offered him a 5-year, $35 million deal with $19 million guaranteed before the season, that he declined, went out there and scored 11 touchdowns. You figure he's not going to drop that price tag. So, that's the range you're going to have to play. And if, a lot of folks think the Jags need to go out and get a receiver, well, maybe Randall Cobb makes it to free agency. Maybe the Packers re-sign him. We don't know. He wants something in the $9 million a year range. I think the Jags fans and the team themselves, if they're going to get one of these guys that really can come in and make a difference, I think they're going to have to be prepared to spend maybe $9 or $10 million a year if you're going to have that aspect of possibly needing to outbid other teams.
Yeah, I mean, don't be scared, Don't be scared.
It's not my money. I'm not scared.
Yeah, there you go. I just think, he has to be on the radar. Cobb would definitely be a better choice if we could get him first. But that second, third guy, I would definitely, have him up there. Last year he did not have the kind of production as far as many catches as you would like for him to have and the yards and those kind of things. But the touchdowns are great. If he can get in the end zone, that's what you want.
Yeah, it is what you want. It's interesting, though, because, Gus Bradley reiterated again yesterday, and they've talked about it a lot. They want to be a big, physical, running team, a team that can run the ball first. And that may actually work to Torrey Smith's benefit, a player like that, because with his speed, he should be a great play-action threat on the deep
absolutely.
Ball. But if I'm going to pay that kind of money to a guy on a team that wants to run the ball first, give me Randall Cobb, who's more diverse, who can impact your return game on top of it. I just wonder, what could you see Torrey Smith doing here? Catching 60 ball? Is it worth going out and paying $8-9 million? And that may be what you have to pay a guy like that. If the Ravens were already offering him $7 million with $19 million guaranteed, and they're a lot closer to contention than the Jaguars are. They're in contention. It's going to take something, I would think, significantly higher than that to pry him away.
Probably. And look, we talked about this a little bit last week, but look, Cobb would be the guy if he hits free agency that I think you throw that money at, and you hope that you're going to have to overpay for whoever you're going to go get. But if you're going to overpay for one of these guys, my guy would be Randall Cobb because of what he gives you in the return game, because of his ability to play in the slot and allow you to do still what you want to do with everybody else on your roster and continue to develop those guys. Beyond that, the debate between a guy like Torrey Smith and Crabtree is interesting because they bring different things. Like Crabtree is a guy that you could bring in. He could play in the slot for you immediately, and he's more of a physical presence in the slot than a guy like Torrey Smith would be, who you'd play on the outside, keep Marquise Lee inside, and you let Torrey Smith try to be that guy that creates space for a guy like Marquise Lee. I think both are upgrades for the Jacksonville Jaguars if Randall Cobb happens to stay in Green Bay. I still would rather have Smith because I like the idea of a guy that can get downfield for me, but Crabtree would be fine by me. Bring in that guy, hope he can catch 50 balls this year for 700 yards. I think that's what they're looking for out of a receiver in free agency right now.
Yeah, I believe that Torrey Smith has a pretty good reputation, a decent reputation as a blocker as well in the run game, which is something that the average fan and the average radio host does not spend a whole lot of time thinking about, right? Wide receivers blocking, but Dave, you obviously saw it firsthand how important that is because you were on some Jaguar teams that had outstanding run games, and that's a big component that gets overlooked, I think.
It is, and you're always looking for your running back to get to the next level and then to get past that next level. Well, he can't do it because sometimes if your receivers are just guys that just want to catch the ball and they don't want to block, well, that next level is their guy. And if they can't get their hands on that guy and keep him blocked, now the running back is getting tackled at 10 or 15 yards instead of being able to break that 35, 40-yard runoff. And so when you have some of those dominating, tough, physical receivers, that's an attitude out there. That gets everybody going because the coaches show those plays the next day when you're watching film as a team. And he's going to point out how the receiver kept his block and allowed the running back to get up to that 30, 40-yard gain. And everybody's going to be so pumped about that. And that's just going to continue to breed game in and game out. And so, but when you have guys that don't do it, like Matt Jones, he just did not want to block anybody. Sometimes he didn't even know who he was blocking. And so guys would be getting tackled and he'd be right there, like in the way, not blocking anybody. And so it does hurt your team when your receivers are not geared in and dialed in and want to be a blocking receiver. It definitely helps. It definitely hurts if they're not.
I don't know if Crabtree's that guy or not, but I know San Francisco's been a really good running team. I don't feel like he's been hurting them in the run game. He's about an inch taller, and he's got about 10 pounds on Torrey Smith. So he's a little bit bigger guy, and
he's physical enough that he's in the way enough. He might not be mauling guys, but he's definitely a guy that can use his size.
You wonder about Crabtree. I mean, his reputation is a bit of a diva compared to Torrey Smith, who's seen as, you know, just a consummate team guy.
Yeah.
If Crabtree were to come in to a team that is not going to be prolific throwing the football, and maybe he's not the lead guy. You know, what if Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee is the lead guy? He's just part of the puzzle. Is he going to be an issue? You know?
Have you seen much from him over the years? I mean, I know when he came out, there was something early on.
The year they went to the Super Bowl, I thought he was really building some chemistry with Kaepernick in the second half of that season. But he battled injuries.
Yeah.
And again, he's got that reputation of that football is not necessarily the most important thing to him. Now, I don't know if that's a well-deserved reputation. I haven't covered the guy. I haven't been around him, but that's some of what you hear about him. By the way, in Matt Jones' defense, it's really easy to jam a finger on one of those blocks, and that can really put a crimp in your pickup basketball game. So let's not be too hard on Matt Jones.
Or tossing the ball with a fan in the stands.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to take things too seriously, guys.
You know, I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Speaking of Matt Jones, he may make an appearance on some lists here. Let's do the countdown here. We've got the Friday Top 5, your Top 5 Worst Selections in Jaguar team history. So let's roll it with number 5.
Number 5.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
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 Number 5.
All right, David Garrard, you are going to start things off for us today. We're counting them down from 5 to 1. Who is the guy you listed as number 5 on your all-time worst Jaguar draft pick list?
On my list at number 5, I feel like I hate to say it, but Byron Leftwich is.
Byron Leftwich. Yeah. Wow. Dave just threw major shade at Byron Leftwich. Tell us why he makes your top 5.
Well, I felt like he had the ability. He had what it took to be a quarterback other than having the long, elongated release. He had the mind. He had the – it was just everything else. He could not stay healthy. He thought he was way better than he really was, and he let everybody know that.
I've seen it.
Yeah, okay, so I was going to say, in our locker room, I don't know if you saw it outside.
We saw it. I've made this – I've quoted Byron many times, and I heard it more than once where he'd say, "You guys know how good I am when I'm when I'm healthy."
Yeah.
And we'd be like, "Bro, you've thrown like 15 touchdowns, like your career high. What are you talking
yeah.
about?"
Yeah, well, and he would have his moments where he would play really good, and then he'd have some moments where he just wasn't on the field. And so I had to put him in there as my top five.
All right. Tony, what do you got? Number five.
Number five for me, I nicknamed this man the Blizzard, not only because he's one of those rare white receivers, but because it didn't matter if it was 110 degrees in that stadium. My man wore the long white sleeves. It doesn't matter how hot it was, and I have other reasons that I won't go into on air. But number five for me is Matt Jones.
All right, Matt Jones for you. I'm not going to comment on
And that's
on,
kind of in
yours.
Honor of it's kind of duping season in the National Football League as well. You know, we just had the Senior Bowl a few
right.
weeks ago, and he fooled the Jaguars. He tricked us into taking him in the first round. So he's kind of an honorary pick there, too.
All right, for me, I went a little deep on the first couple here in the countdown. I went back to 1998. And I think longtime Jaguar fans will remember second round selection that year. This, keep in mind, this is in the midst of the Jags, Dave. They're on the brink, right? They're on the freaking brink of we're going to win the Super Bowl. We need a piece or two. If we don't miss, that might put us over the top. Cordell Taylor was a big miss.
Ugh.
Defensive back, played 1 year in Jacksonville as a second round
wow.
pick and played parts of the next season. I think like two games in Seattle
yeah.
and was done. Was done. So at least he played a little bit, but not effectively, and left no memory other than, boy, even Tom Coughlin could screw up some of those draft picks, as well as Gene Smith, Shaq Harris, and others. So that's my number five. Let's move along the countdown.
1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Number four.
Tony Smith.
Number four for me, and spoiler, this is the only quarterback that makes my list.
Cover your ears, Dave.
No. Blaine Gabbert, who they gave up first and second round pick. The reason I put him in at four, I was debating between him and my number three pick, but the reason he slid down to four instead of staying at number three is because, doggone it, we got a six-round pick and Luke Bawenko for that guy.
That's a good point.
5-22 as a starter. I got so tired for 3 years of coming in and talking about, but did you see that one throw in that game? He made the one throw. Now, the other 25 were terrible, and he looked scared the whole time, but he made that one throw when he had time and he had the presence in the pocket to do it, and I felt like I became an expert on breaking down. I know what one good one looks like. Can we get 25? In a game, and hopefully we can sometime soon with Blake Bortles, but Blaine Gabbert comes in at number four for me.
I'm going to save my comments on Blaine for a little later in the broadcast, but the original sunshine pumper, Brent Martineau, our former 3-hour daily colleague.
Rainbow.
I remember we'd be watching the press box, and he'd make one of those throws that you're like, your jaw would drop, and Brent would go like, "I think maybe he's getting it, man. Maybe he's turned the
That's
corner."
That's what we did.
He's turned the corner.
He just wanted it to happen. All right, my number four, I'm getting to the same draft I just went to, and it was the fourth round selection. The only reason that Harry Delejanis comes in higher than Cordell Taylor is Harry Delejanis literally never made the team. Okay? didn't play a snap for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think for a long time has been the embodiment of, what the hell were you thinking when you took this guy? So, again, a little bit off the radar compared to some of the bigger names that we'll hear, but the Harry Delejanis, my number four. Dave, for you, number four?
Mine is Matt Jones.
Matt Jones.
Oh, the Blizzard.
Yes. Matt Jones had the ability, but just never cared. He did not give one lick about being here, being on the field. Didn't care to study anything, you know, but he had it. He had all the things that you would want a receiver to have, but just has no heart, you know. So he's my Wizard of Oz.
David Garrard crushing people today. Let's continue the countdown.
Three.
Easy. 1, 2, 3.
Three. Number three.
I'll just say this right now. My number three is a wide receiver. I don't have Matt Jones on my list because as disappointing as Matt was, he actually produced some
plays
for his football team, right? But the guy I have at number three is the guy who wish he had Matt Jones' career. That would be R.J. Soward back in 2000. First round pick. Tom Coughlin fell in love with the greatest show on turf. I remember the Jags get to the AFC title game and they lose to Tennessee. Tennessee falls to the Rams and they've got Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and they've got Oz Akeem in the slot, and Coughlin envisioned R.J. Soward as being the last piece to an explosive offensive puzzle with Jimmy and Keenan already out there. Unfortunately, the puzzle was, would R.J. bother to show up for practice or at all? They had to have a car go pick him up all the time. Played parts of his rookie season here in Jacksonville, and that was it as a first-round draft pick. He's my number three. Who you got?
Should have been a red flag when the college coach said, don't draft this
don't
guy.
Don't draft this guy. Right. You would think maybe that's an indicator. Who do you have at number three?
All right. My number three is a Florida Gator, Mr. Derek Harvey. I put him on this list because who was he? What did he do?
The Jags, by the way, here's what they gave up to get him. They got the eighth pick. They moved it up from 26, which actually, by the chart, this wasn't the worst. But when you think about what he gave you, they gave up the 26th pick, two third-rounders, and a fourth-rounder to select Derek Harvey. So he accounted for four draft picks wasted by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And then wasted everybody's time here.
There you go. Tony?
Number three, I couldn't pick one, so I put the first three picks of the 2012 draft just in this slot. That is Justin Blackmon, Branch, not so much Branch, but Brian Anger. And it's more about, I can remember being here and the excitement when the team made the move to go get Justin Blackmon, because that was the guy they weren't going to be able to get with the draft spot that they were in, but they made the move and they go and get him. And then you go back to the bar on Friday night and doggone it, in the third round, they take a freaking punter. I mean, it was just, and a lot of people got mad at Mike and I for some of the things we were saying on Twitter regarding that pick. And I still remember how angry I was because I was in a room full of Jaguars fans that were so excited about the Blackmon pick, and they took the air out of the Jaguar fans' balloon the next night. They didn't even wait 48 hours to pop that balloon of enthusiasm for what this team has done. And we don't have to go into what they could have taken, the Russell Wilsons, all that of the world. It doesn't matter. A punter in the third round, no matter how good a punter he is it worth the draft stock that you put into him? And your first round pick that year, as talented as he may be, is he's not on the field. And for that reason, for me, that 2012 draft fits in at number three.
Yeah, none of those guys made it for me because I'm still holding out hope that Justin Blackman's book is not written. And Brian Anger, at least he's been a decent player. Yeah. You know, at least he's played. Hey, Harry Delejonis. Harry Delejonis wishes he had Brian Anger's career as well. All right, let's continue the countdown.
One, two.
One, two.
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 Two. Two, right?
Two.
Twice.
The second.
Two. Two.
Number two.
David Garrard, who you got?
Just for all the stories that I heard about this guy, R.J. Soward is my number two. When you have a couch in your house, a bed, and a TV, and that's it.
You say you aren't taking things as seriously as you need to?
You're not taking things seriously. And you have a party every night, then you're definitely on my
right. I've known a few Jags that had a party every night, but they actually got it done on the field.
Yeah.
So you overlook a lot of that stuff. All right, RJ makes it number two. Tony, who do you have at number two?
Number two for me is the Kung Fu Master himself, Derek Harvey. And I may tweet out the video again because it gives me such joy.
I haven't seen this video.
Watching him do the karate. But he spent 3 years here in Jacksonville. They got 8 sacks out of him. They gave up more picks than they got seasons out of Derek Harvey. When everything is said and done, he made it through. At least he's one of the Jaguars who got out and played somewhere else. There's a lot of these guys we talk about today. They didn't go anywhere to do anything after they got done in Jacksonville. At least Derek played a year up in Denver before he fizzled out completely. But 3 years, 8 sacks, you move up 18 spots to go get the guy. Blech. Number two for me.
I got Harvey at number two. I think we've covered him all we need to at this point. So let's wrap up the countdown with this.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Number one.
14 catches, Son of a bee sting. 14 catches for a first-round wide receiver. You make Matt Jones look like a Hall of Famer, R.J. Soward. That's what you do, you big bum waste of space here in Jacksonville. He only survived for the 1 year, and that's right, you got 14 catches out of a first-round draft pick. Unbelievably bad stuff, despite the fact that the team was still okay despite him.
Yeah, there were a few that had to make everybody's list, I think. Where you ranked them is what it came down to, personal preference. My number one is Blaine Gabbert. And here's the thing. Harvey, you gave up four picks. But I would argue that the picks you gave up to get Derek Harvey are not as valuable as the picks you gave up to get Blaine Gabbert. You gave up a first and a second rounder, and it was the 16th pick in the first round to move up and grab him. Here's the thing that, well, among the things, his lack of performance stings. But here are guys that came off the board, with the, second selection the selection in the second round that originally belonged to the Jags, okay? It was traded to Washington in the deal to acquire him. Washington takes Ryan Kerrigan with the first pick. Would you like Ryan Kerrigan? You're still looking for an outside linebacker who can get after the quarterback. Would you like to have Ryan Kerrigan on your team right now? Yes, you would. Now, the Redskins traded this pick to the Colts, and ultimately the Colts picked Ben Ajalana. Okay, so I'm not worried about who they gave up, but here's who you could have had you chosen to before the Jags' next pick. So had they, I'm not talking about guys way deep in the draft, before their pick came up in the third round, here's who they would have had to select from. How about Rodney Hudson, right, who's currently a free agent center, maybe the best on the market, on the free agent market right now. Shane Vereen, how about Torrey Smith that we're talking about? Could have just drafted Torrey Smith instead with that second round pick. Why not Randall Cobb then? Let's just go for him and we'll take him instead in the second round and got passed on. Oh, well, he's never going to get out of Kansas City because he's going to get franchised, but you could have drafted Justin Houston if you wanted to. He went in the top of the third round, one pick ahead of DeMarco Murray, who just set the Cowboys single season rushing record. So those are just a few of the guys that you could have had with that second round pick had you not traded it. Dave, who you got at number one?
I am with you, Mike.
Ditto.
Blaine Gabbert, because he was brought here to replace me, and I don't even know. I don't know if you can call that replacing me, but I felt terrible for him, and then when he played, I still felt even worse for him. And he has yet to recover. I watched a few preseason games from last year when he played, and I immediately picked up the phone and said, somebody, I will help you guys out there. Please bring me in. Blaine Gabbert, my number one all time.
I'm with you right there. We got to take a timeout. By the way, the Jags in the third round selected Will Rackley one spot before Jarrell Casey, who's a Pro Bowl defensive lineman for Tennessee. And also, since they're in the market for a tight end, both Jordan Cameron and Julius Thomas also went later, a little bit later on in that draft. Any one of those would have been a fine selection.
And the cat just texted me and said, don't forget about the bullet holes that R.J. Soward had in his house, too. So,
well, there's that. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this. We'll get your thoughts on the fan feedback spotlight. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, wrapping things up on this Jaguars Today Friday here. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings it to you every week. We ask for your feedback. Fan feedback spotlight in the Friday top five overlapping today, asking you for your top five worst Jaguar draft picks. Tony, a lot of people asking, where's Reggie Williams? We just spent 5 minutes on the break discussing Reggie. Reggie at least produced for you, Dave. I mean, he had a 10-touchdown season. He didn't produce as much as his talent should have allowed him to, but he wasn't enough to break into the top five. Definitely a disappointment, but at least he did make some plays.
Yeah, there was definitely some bigger busts, and he did make some plays. You wish he would have made a few more plays for us, but there was definitely some bigger busts.
He should have had a sunglass sponsorship, man,
because
I didn't see him without the sunglasses on.
You probably didn't want to see him without the sunglasses
on. Tony, what kind of feedback did we get today?
Here's what we got from Mike. He said, Blaine Gabbert, Derek Harvey, R.J. Soward, Brian Anger, and Reggie Williams. From Brian, R.J. Soward, Derek Harvey, Blaine Gabbert, Khalif Barnes, Quentin Groves, that's a new one, and Tony Baselli, he said, just kidding. from Christoph, Blaine Gabbert, Quentin Groves, Derek Harvey, R.J. Soward, and Reggie Williams. From Jason, Gabbert 1, Harvey 2, R.J. Soward 3, Leftwich 4 because he sent Brunell out of town, and Mercedes Lewis because he gives us false hope every year. From Duval Doom, number one, R.J. Soward. Number two, Derek Harvey. Number three, Quentin Groves. Number four, Matt Jones. And number five, the dude from the Colorado School of Mines.
we established was not drafted.
Shekel.
But deserved a mention.
Whatever his name is. From Eric, no order, Derek Henry, Blaine Gabbert, R.J. Soward, Tyson Alualu, not a top 10 guy, and the banger in the third round. From Bobby Brown, Leftwich, Matt Jones, Derek Harvey, R.J. Soward, and Jason Kraft. Hashtag, I wish I could pick more.
Jason Kraft was a nice guy.
He was.
He's all right. I mean, he didn't rise to this level we're getting a lot of that. We're getting some Quentin Groves in here on Facebook. Any Dave Caldwell picks round 1-3?
Oh.
Wow. Wait a minute. Come on now. Brandon Linder would disagree with that. Look, last year, I think you almost got to throw out because it's the rookie season, right? We'll judge those guys.
Say Bortles, Lee Robinson, and Linder.
I hope we're not
You're
talking
ready
about
to shut the door on those guys.
Right. I think you can make the case that Jonathan Cyprien hasn't lived up to the reputation
Jokel's
so far.
Same way,
right?
Dwayne Rotz, maybe your nickel guy starting this year,
right? But I think that looked at him as drafted to be a full time starting guy. So I think that class needs to prove it this year, but way too soon for me to put those guys on this kind of list. But getting a lot of several where I just got five votes for Gabbert, which is understandable. I would concur. And on it went. We got a lot of response on this one. You can go have a good time reading some of the stuff and a lot and several votes for Byron Leftwich in there. You mentioned Byron, Dave, and then you also said Matt Jones had no heart, and you brought it strong today, my friend. We appreciate the candor and the candid response.
I was trying to dial it back a little bit too.
Were you? I tell you what, folks, that's the value of sitting in studio during the breaks, and you get to hear all the good stuff. That's what Duval Doom will do next Friday. He'll join us in studio next Friday. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac. They bring you the show every Friday. Thanks to the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships presenting the Fan Feedback Spotlight each day. We appreciate John Osier joining us from Jaguars.com. Don't forget, by the way, Retro Fitness up and excelling right now. You can check out David's new gym, Retro Fitness, expanding across Jacksonville, now open in the Harbor Village at Atlantic Boulevard in San Pablo. No other fitness club going to give you more for your money with memberships as low as $19.99 per month. You can stop by Retro Fitness today or visit RetroFitness.com for a free pass courtesy of the one and only David Garrard. Things going well so far with it?
It is. I want everybody to just come hang out with me at the gym. I mean, it's a great place. We have some of the best equipment in town. There's things in there that you've never seen before, and we're trying to bring you that experience. Just come enjoy a wonderful smoothie with me.
It's worth the trip just to check out the beard, because it is really shaping up quite
nicely.
It is.
This is definitely
right
the longest in my life I've let this beard grow.
It looks good, though, with the North Face jacket. Yeah, you got a good look going on today.
We can't rock this in the summertime, not in Jacksonville.
Zach, Tony can. Tony don't care.
I don't like to shave.
I don't either, brother. Fortunately, I don't need to all that often. All right, that does it for us today. Dave, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
We'll do it again next week, hopefully, and enjoy the coverage of the Combine continuing this afternoon, not only on 1010XL, but Jaguars.com doing a terrific job there as well. That does it for us, XL Primetime. Coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.